If you would turn to the book of James, the first chapter, and we're going to read this morning starting at verse 2. Again, hang on in there. Verse 2 through 5 reads, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him." You may be seated. Again, our topic this morning is hang on in there. As God was beginning to prepare me for this sermon, I thought about something that was said to me back in 1982. I thought about when Deacon Smith asked me to marry him. When he asked me to marry him, he said if I said yes, that everything would be as smooth as peaches and ice cream. Now, as time has went on, over these past 28 years, our marriage, just like any other marriage, have had some ups and some downs. Our marriage have had some bumps and bruises. Our marriage have had some trials and tribulations, just like any other marriage. And what I come to realize as I think about the 28 years, and I think about the peaches and the ice cream, I think about that the promise was not made that we wouldn't have any ups and downs. But the promise that was made was that whatever we went through, everything was going to be all right with him. And so I, as God was dealing with me on this sermon in James chapter 1, I thought about how we, talking about we as preachers, pastors, teachers, Christians, how we, when we talk to people that are first coming to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we sometimes paint the picture that everything will be like peaches and ice cream. We tell them how it doesn't matter what they've done in the past. Because if they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, he's going to take them from this point forward, and he's going to go forward. He's not going to hold anything that you've done in the past against you. Who wouldn't want to serve a God who loved you like that? We tell them about how God gave up Jesus, his only son, that he died for their sins on the cross. We tell them how if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you turn to Philippians 4 and 13, it says that you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. Peaches and ice cream. We tell them how about the power of God. We tell them how the things that Jesus done in the Gospels, how he made the lame to be able to walk. How he opened the eyes of the blind people. We tell them how he opened up deaf ears and people who couldn't speak well, how he cut loose the stammering tongues. We tell them about the awesome power of God, peaches and ice cream. But sometimes we fail to tell them that even though this is a relationship, just like the relationship that Deacon Smith and I have, life has been better than good. But in this relationship with God, life can be better than good. But it does not eliminate trials and tribulations. And so this morning, I can see where God have inspired James to write this book. And he inspired him to write this book because he wanted it to be there to encourage us. He wanted to encourage the people that when trials and tribulations come, that we're going to have to persevere through the struggling times. You see, it would be good. It would be good if when we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, if we could go on up to glory. Because then we wouldn't have to worry about anything. But see, it doesn't happen that way. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you still got a life to live here on this earth. And in this life here on this earth, you're going to face some trying times. The only thing about accepting Jesus Christ, it doesn't change the trials and the tribulations. But the difference is, now that you have accepted Jesus, you don't have to go through the trials and the tribulations alone, because Jesus is there with you. Because you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, keep on living. You will still have to face sickness and disease. Because you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you still got to live in this world, you keep on living. Sooner or later, death is going to come to you or somebody in your family. As long as you're living in this world, you are subject to be on a job that doesn't give you any notice that they're about to close their doors. As long as you live in this world, you're going to have to deal with the unsaved as well as the saved. As long as you live in this world, you're going to be around people who, I don't care how well you treat them, they still may mistreat you, even though you are a Christian. Right. Trials and tribulation, things happen. And it may not even be on that magnitude. It may have been a lot of little stuff that builds up. You know, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're trying to do the right thing. You get up this morning, and the car won't start. You come in this evening and the refrigerator has broken. You get up tomorrow morning, the kids need something for Walmart for a project that they've been knowing about for 2 or 3 weeks. Things just continue to happen over and over and over again. Trials and tribulations in this life. But James is letting us know this morning in his book that there is a way to respond. He says to count it all joy. And in the New Living Translation, he said, consider it an opportunity for great joy. In other words, I don't care what you go through, as long as you're lined up with the will of God, he's saying this morning, count it all joy. And in that verse, he says, when? And that stuck out at me, because he didn't say if. He said when, because that lets us know that the trials and tribulations are going to come. He didn't say if, he said when, because you're going to have to go through some things. He said when trials and tribulations come, in verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into divers, meaning various, temptations with an S, which lets us know that you're subject to anything happening. Divers meaning various. Just because you went through one thing doesn't mean that you're not going to go through another. Temptations with an S, just because you came through this temptation don't mean that you're not going to come through another. And then it's important to know the meaning of words, because this word temptations means tests, which lets us know that God is in control of this thing. You know, he says to count it all joy, because sometimes when we're going through things, a lot of times we're going through when we have lost all control. We're going through when we feel like that we are being threatened, or something that we need is being threatened in some kind of way. We lose our job and we feel like, well, how am I going to be able to feed my family? There's no check coming in. How am I going to keep my bills paid? There is no check coming in. But God puts us in these positions, these testing positions, so that we will know that when we cannot control a situation, we got to learn to lean and depend on Him. God tells us in His word that He will supply all of our needs. And it's during these times that when God puts us in these positions to where He's going to show us that He's supplying our needs, that He is growing our faith. It's at these times that we go through these testing times so that God can make us complete. Because you know, when you're going through and everything is good, when you're going through and at the end of the paycheck, you got all the bills paid and you got some money left, it's hard to really say how you'll really stick with God. But when you get in a situation when at the end of the month you got more bill than money and it ain't nothing that you can do about it, then that's the time you got to lean and depend on God, and then God gets the opportunity to show you who he really is. And when you can have faith in him and believe in him that he's going to bring you through, when you can have patience, when you cannot stress out, when you can trust and depend on him, then God is completing you. God is transforming you into the person that he wants you to be. Our faith has to be strong and healthy faith. You know, sometimes we have faith, but our faith will take us so far. But this, the kind of faith that we're talking about today, is strong and healthy faith. It's the kind of faith that when you go through something, you don't ask God why. You don't ask God why, because you know God is in control. It's the kind of faith that you believe that God can do all things. It's the kind of faith that you trust God to speak those things that be not as though they were. You know, we go around and we quote these scriptures and we say these different things, but a lot of times we don't live it. We don't show it in our actions when things come up on us. When sometimes you can really tell when somebody is going through through struggles because the church get empty. You know, you got somebody that sings in the choir every Sunday, but let them go through something in the family and they stop coming to choir practice. Well, when they stop coming to choir practice, they stop singing in the choir. When they stop singing in the choir, they start sitting in the audience. And then they stop sitting in the audience too much because then people start asking why you stop singing in the choir. Then people start getting into your business and they realize that you're going through something. But James is letting us know that that's not the time to stay away from the church. That's the time to run to the church, because we got to lean and depend on God. Talking about strong faith. That faith, when we put this faith in action, it takes us to a whole different level with God. And I'm reminded of a time in the Old Testament when the children of Israel were complaining, and God sent the fiery serpents amongst the people, and the serpents were biting the people and they were dying. Moses went to God on behalf of the people, and God told Moses, he said, build a serpent of brass and put it up on a pole. He said, when they get bitten by the serpent, lift the pole up. If they will look up at the serpent on the pole, then they will not die. God placed them in a position where they had to look up to live. So you know, God has the power to get rid of the serpent, but God didn't do that. In the same way it is with our lives, God has the power to remove the trials and the tribulations that we go through, but God allows the trials and the tribulations to stay there so that we can get in a position where we will look up, and then he can bring us through, because we'll trust and depend on him. Look up and live. But when you look up and live, in verse 12, it says that if you remain faithful, if you don't give in, if you just hang in there, it says you got a reward. You got a blessing coming, and that blessing is everlasting life. So then, let's not get it confused, because sometimes we go through tests and trials that God allow, and then sometimes we go through things because of what we've done. Am I right? Because, you know, I said God has a will for our lives. But guess what? We also have a will. And God didn't take that away from us. God, it's just so amazing how good God is. How he gives us things, and then he allows us to make choices. He wants us to love him, but he's not going to force us to love him. And so there are some things that we go through, not because God have allowed it to happen, but because of the choices that we have made. Now, when you're talking about things that you're going through because of choices that you made that you know better, you're just reaping what you have sown. But when you go through things that are beyond your control, then you are going through a test where God is strengthening you and preparing you for the will that he has for your life. God is so good. As I was looking at that, I was wondering, why is it that people commit to things, but then they don't live a life that support what they are committed to? Why is it that you sign up to run the race, but but you have no desire to win? Why is it that you go out to eat, but you're not hungry? Why is it that we put ourselves in predicaments to accomplish things, but we have no desire to accomplish them? Why is it that you enter into a relationship, but you have no desire to be happy? Why is it that you come to church? Why is it that you work in the church? Why is it that you study the word of God, but you have no desire to apply it to your way of life? Why is it that we waste our time like that? Why is it that we make commitments, but then we make choices that defeats the commitments that we've made? Why is it that we don't take time to take our commitments seriously? Why is it that we commit to God, but then we give it no more thought on how we got to live? As a Christian, we got to get ourselves in positions to where we're going to honor our commitments to God. And when we honor our commitment to God, then we will be able to honor our commitments in life. As a Christian, if you ain't going to treat God right, you ain't going to treat life right. You ain't going to treat yourself right. You ain't going to treat other people right, because you don't know how to treat God. But I realize that it's all a process. It's a process in learning how to deal with this faith thing. It's a process, because I myself, times I've been through things to where it's hard sometimes to depend on that faith. Because even though you may know that God can, you don't know what God is going to do or when he's going to do it. Because, you know, I'm human just like everybody else. And we don't want to suffer long. We don't want to go through anything long. And if God's word don't seem like it come to pass fast enough, we find ourselves getting a little antsy. We find ourselves wondering what is it that we need to do. And when we find ourselves wondering what we need to do, that's when we find ourselves thinking in our will and not God's will. And that's when we find ourselves getting in predicaments to where we mess things up. And we don't do what it is that God wants us to do. And then when we start messing up, we get upset with other people. And even as Christians, you know, sometimes we know enough scripture to be dangerous. We know enough scripture to support our wrongdoing. Because somebody points out that you're doing something wrong, well, you know what the Bible says. The pastor said it this morning. All have sinned and falling short of the glory of God. We use that to support the wrong decisions that we are making. Don't judge me because you're going to be judged. When, as Christians, we are supposed to love one another. If I see you going in a wrong direction in life, it's my responsibility to hold you accountable. It's your responsibility to hold me accountable. But you know, the word of God said, as a Christian, there are some things that we ought to know. And in verse 3 of James chapter 1, it said, know this. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Know that if you're going through something and you have been making the right decisions and something is happening beyond your control, know that God is in control. This is what the Bible is reassuring you. Know that God is in control. Know that God is going to take care of this thing. And then Orange Chapel, we got a theme scripture that's quoted just about every Sunday. Something that we ought to know. Romans 8 and what? 28. What do it start off saying? And we know. We are supposed to know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. If you know these things, it ought to make it a little bit easier to go through some of the things that we go through. We got to live a life as if we know something. And we got to live a life to where we are setting goals. As Christians, you shouldn't get involved in anything and not have a goal set. What is our goal? The pastor says we want to be A-plus Christians. He tells us that all the time. Even though we know that we make mistakes, we still should strive to be A-plus Christians. We should do everything that we should make all the right decisions that we can make, because trials and tribulations are going to come anyway. And so we should try to put ourselves in predicaments to where we are always trying to make the right decision. We should set a goal as a Christian every morning when we get up. Your goal should be that you're trying to live a better life today than you lived on yesterday. Because, you know, not being perfect, I know you've done something wrong. You thought something wrong. You said something wrong. You got caught up in a conversation you shouldn't have gotten caught up in. Sometimes that's easy to do when you work. You don't work by yourself. You work with a group of people. Somebody's always talking about somebody. And it's so easy to get caught up in there. Even if you're just sitting there and you agree. Even if you don't say nothing and you look like you agree. Sometimes people will go back and say, you were there, and it looks like you were a part of it. And so we got to have a discerning spirit to know when to separate ourselves from certain things. But we ought to set goals every day to be a better Christian today than we were on yesterday. But, and we can't allow the trials and the tribulations that we go through to throw us off course. Because sometimes when we go through things, we get sidetracked. You know, and sometimes we think that people don't understand our stuff. You know, a trial and a tribulation is a trial and a tribulation. I don't care who it applies to. I mean, drinking may not be a weakness for you, but it may be for me. And so it affects me just as much as drugs may affect you. When it's a trial and a tribulation for you, it's something that you struggle with. It's something that's hard. And it's easy for those trials and tribulations to get you off course.
Yeah.
But you know, it's not what you go through that shows who you are. But it's how you handle what you go through. Sometimes we spend so much time looking at everything that we've gone through. You know, this has happened to me, that has happened to me. But how did you handle it? Because how you handle it, sometimes we go through a lot of things because we didn't handle the thing before the way God wanted us to. Again, this thing is to perfect us. This thing is to make us stronger. God uses these tests, just like tests are used in the classroom, to let you see where you are in your relationship with Christ. Because you see, he already knows. But sometimes we think we got it when we don't. And so these tests come to let us know, you know, how much we are lacking in our faith. And in the Bible, it says that ask for wisdom in verse 5. If you lack wisdom, it said, ask God for it. If you don't know what to do in a situation, go to God about it. Talk to God about it. Some people say, well, what is wisdom? Wisdom can be described in a lot of different ways. Some people say applying knowledge well. That's good. Some people say the ability to make wise decisions in difficult situations. That's good too. Some people say practical discernment. That's good. But you know, if I had to describe it, I would say that when you're trying to get wisdom, the first thing that you got to do, since it comes from God, you got to have respect for God. And then if you got respect for God, then that Holy Spirit that lives within you is going to lead and guide you to making right decisions. It's going to lead and guide you on when to say no and when to say yes. It's going to lead and guide you on when to stay away from something and when to stay with something. And so if you got the relationship with God, if you got the proper respect for God, if you allow the Holy Spirit and lead and guide you, then you will know when to make the right and the wrong decisions. That is wisdom. God wants us to mature spiritually because he does not want us to be deceived. Again, sometimes we think we got it when we don't. I heard a lady say the other day that, you know, it's strange because it seems like we deal with a lot of anger issues around here. And I'm not calling anybody out, but you know a lot of people have come up and said, I'm dealing with anger. And then a lot of people have stood in their seat and didn't come up and still said, I'm dealing with anger. But I heard a lady say the other day, she said, she was telling me about a situation, and she said that when tears start coming down my face, that means that I'm about to do something. And so I thought about this, and I thought about getting angry. Why is it that you keep getting angry? Because you keep failing the test. And so I'm sitting here thinking, there are things, if you know when you got tears coming down, what's coming next? I begin to think about how some people say, well, I begin to shake. Then after I start shaking, tears start coming down my eyes. After tears start coming down my eyes, what, I'm supposed to hit you? I'm supposed to say something? Whatever. If you know what leads up to anger, when you begin to shake, why come you don't begin to pray? If you want to do what God wants you to do. Why is it that, you know, we know what the Word of God says, but we don't apply the Word of God so that we can see the power of God? Sometimes we think God, we say God is powerful, but we think in our mind that he has no power because we have not allowed him to work in our lives. We're so concerned with how we look in the world. If somebody make you angry, you're so concerned with how you look at the end of the argument. Am I going to look like a punk? Am I going to look like somebody can just run over me? Or is it more important to you as a Christian to pray when you begin to shake so that you can see the power of God, so that when you talk to somebody else that struggles, you can really tell them from your heart how good God is and what God can do? But instead, we wonder, why is it that I keep having to deal with anger? Why come I'm always in a situation where somebody's making me mad? Because you're not passing the test. And before God can take you to the next test, before God can perfect you in another area, you got to get that thing under control. And so the test is going to keep coming because God is trying to do something with you. God has a purpose, I've told you this before, for each and every one of our lives. But you can't just do the will of God in any old kind of condition. You can't do that. And when I say condition, I'm not talking about perfection. But you've got to allow God to mold and shape you. You've got to allow God to show you who he really is. And God has to do that to each and every one of us personally. You know, when Paul was talking to Timothy in the book of Timothy, he told him, he said, you know, he was telling Timothy about being a soldier for God. He said that you, in order to suffer with him, in order to reign with him, you're going to have to suffer with him. In other words, in order to get this blessing of everlasting life, we're going to have to go through some things here on this earth. Because he was telling Timothy how to stand as a soldier. But guess what? It's going to come a day when we all going to have to stand. We all going to have to stand before Jesus, and we all going to have to be judged. And we're going to be classified as sheep, or we're going to be classified as goats. Now, when you look in the Bible, you see that there are some people who thought they were sheep, who Jesus told they were goats. You know, sometimes we fool ourselves, but Jesus, he can never be fooled. He knows who we are. And he tells the goat, he says, to depart from me. And they are cast into the everlasting fire, which is developed for the devils and his angels. Hellfire was not made for you. But you can make it is available if you choose to go. But it was not made for you. If you are here in this room today, you didn't make yourself come. God has chosen you to be in the house of God. And sometimes we may not feel like we chosen. Sometimes we may think we come just because somebody invited us. Sometimes we think we just got up and come because it's Sunday. But you are coming because God has his hands on you. You may not be where God wants you to be, but I want you to know this morning that you are special. I want you to know that you have been chosen by God. You may be here because of something that you're going through. You may be here because somebody drug you here. It doesn't matter why you're here, but you're here because God wants you here. And I felt it necessary to say that because sometimes we think we're not important. And we think we're not important based on how other people treat us. But it's not about how nobody else feel about you. But you are special to God. And so this morning, it may seem like I went to a lot of different points. But you know what? I'm kind of like James this morning. When you read his letter, you'll see that he had a lot of different subjects that he just hit some main points on. And that's what I wanted to do this morning, because God said that people here are going through some things. And that's why they're pulling away from the church, because when we're going through, we have a tendency to want to hide. And that's normal, because didn't Adam and Eve do it? When they messed up, what was the first thing that they did? They hid from God. And so when you find yourself wanting to withdraw from people, when you find yourself trying to hide away, know that you're going through something and that the devil is trying to keep you from coming to the church. Don't get upset about the test, the things that God takes you through, because the tests are to refine you. The tests are to get you to where God wants you to be. And when you study the Bible, and I'm about to take my seat because I think I made my point. But when you study your Bible, you'll find that in the Bible, that there are a whole lot of different people that God called that had to go through something. And they had to go through something so that they could experience God and really know who God is. If you remember with Abraham, God asked Abraham to offer up his son Isaac as a sacrifice. God has never asked any of us to do that. To me, that was a tall order. But you don't see anywhere where Abraham refused to do what God had told him to do. He took Isaac as far as to lay him down and to draw the knife back before God intervened and provided his own sacrifice. It was through that experience with God that Abraham realized that God was his provider. He said, I'm going to name this place Jehovah Jireh because God is my provider. And so sometimes we have to go through some things. We have to experience some things so that we will really know who God is. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Everybody knows the story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they were sentenced to be cast into the fire. But you know, they had great faith. I always talk about their faith because they stood up before the king. And they said, you know what? We're not going to bow down to you. Because the God that we serve is able. The God that we serve is able to deliver us. It said, but even if he don't, we're not going to bow down. You would think with that kind of faith that, you know what? If I had that kind of faith, that God would have stepped in before they put me in the fiery furnace, because I would think that I have already passed the test. But no, sometimes you have to actually go through the fire, and so that God can show you that even in the fire, I'm in here with you. And so it was through that experience that they realized that, you know, even though we have to go through some things, even if I have to go through it, I got to be assured that God is there with me. The pastor and I was talking this morning, and we was talking about a situation. It was a bad situation, but then we pointed out something in the situation. And we said, you know, no matter what you go through, if you look deep enough, if you look through your Christian eyes, if you look through your spiritual eyes, if you allow the Holy Spirit to open up your eyes, you will be able to see that God is always present. God is always there to bring you through whatever it is that you're going through. And the last person that I like to talk about is David, because David is my most favorite person in the Old Testament. David was a man after God's own heart, but it seemed like David was put in a situation that he didn't ask to be in. David was anointed by God at a very young age. And even though he was anointed by God, there was a man who sought to kill him, the king, seemed like for years. He was just constantly after him and after him and after him. But it was through that experience that David experienced with Saul that David was able to write all the Psalms that he wrote. And when he wrote those Psalms, not only were they good for David, but we use those Psalms today. How many times do we say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? How many times do we say, the Lord is my rock and my fortress? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. How many times do we say, the Lord is my light and my salvation? When we are afraid, we say, who do I have to fear? I don't have to fear anybody. One thing that I desire of the Lord, David said, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. What is it that you're seeking after? Have you really made up in your mind that you're going to stick with God no matter what? Even though David was going through, he did not give up on God. He said, in thee, O Lord, I put my trust. Why? David said, because the fool has said that in thy heart that there is no God. Then he said, oh, but taste. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him, because they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. In other words, I don't care what it is that you need, God has it for you. So I just want to encourage you this morning, church, to hang on in there. Hang on in there. When things start going wrong in your life, and you know that you have done things to line up with the will of God, Don't let the devil keep you back. Don't let the devil tell you that God is not real. Don't let the devil tell you that those people out there think they perfect and they ain't been through anything. Don't let the devil tell you that the people at the church don't care about you. Don't let the devil put those things into your mind. But be encouraged. Be encouraged not because of what I say, but be encouraged because of what the Word of God says. Because, see, the Word of God is what's going to help you to stand in the last days. It's not based on what I say. It's not based on how I act. But it's based on what you believe. How are you going to go through what you're going through? Sometimes we look at our trials and our tribulations, and we look at them and think, why me? But every time you go through something, it ain't for you. Sometimes it's so that you will be strong enough to help somebody else. How many times have you heard about a situation with somebody else on something that you have experienced? And you can be the one to go to that person and say, I've been there, done that, and this is how I handle it. Wouldn't it be good to be able to say, this is how I handle it. I handle it according to the Word of God. And because I handle it according to the Word of God, this is where I am today. Yeah. But you know what? Even when you go through things because of bad choices that you make, you can still come to God.
Yeah.
That's the thing about it. God put forgiveness in place so that we would never be separated from Him. Because He knew we were going to make bad choices. So when you mess up, go to God and ask for forgiveness. Be sincere in your heart and let God take you from that point forward and go on. God is not like us. He don't hold grudges. You know, he won't bring something up next year that you done last year and say, you know, you done this. I can't trust you with this because you done this last year. God is not like that. That's how we operate. But that's not how God operates. God loves us no matter what. And the thing about God's love is unconditional. And so, you know, I don't have to worry about how I dress. I don't have to worry about my size. I don't have to worry about what color I am. I don't have to worry about what gender I am. I don't have to worry about any of that because God loves me for who I am. Why? Because He made me. And guess what? You're not an accident either. He made you too. I don't care how you came into this world. God made you. God loves you and God cares about you. And so I just like to encourage you before I take my seat. Hang on in there.